Anyways, so that's when he said, yeah, my parents raised me as an only child. But that really pissed my sister off.
Oh. Well.
Yeah.
What are siblings for?
You know. Anyway. It hit a little later.
Well,
here we are. And I'm
episode 165.
165. Thanks. Yeah. My brain is marbles. CGP Power Hour. We're here. We're talking some things and some stuff as always. This week, we're talking about concepts and forgotten platforms, which I thought was a really cool idea.
Because,
you know, we've got a pretty extensive catalog right now, but, you know, there's always those vehicles that we wish ZZP supported. And I got a list. We won't talk about all of them probably because we're going to ramble.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll try and stay away from the V8 stuff because we don't do much V8 stuff.
Yeah, all the we'll keep it in line with the underdog stuff because obviously, should we get into the LS market, why not?
Yeah.
But you know, there's a million reasons why not to.
Yeah.
But with the underdog stuff, we're shooting around this week, and I think everybody could agree upon one thing. And you guys are gonna be don't take first of all this full disclaimer. Do not take this podcast as we're interested in getting into this because it's long gone. But this is the what if, you know.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to make parts for Sunfires. We don't want to make parts for Cavaliers. Like,
That's on the list.
That's
for
on
me.
The list.
But one thing that everybody...
We might make parts for indie Berettas, maybe. No, we won't. But I sure will.
The Quad 4 in general would have been good.
It would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it was a spectacular engine stock with, I don't know what kind of aftermarket's out there, but I can't believe a ton.
Probably not much.
Nope.
I had one, and it was powerful. It was really good 4-cylinder engine, like 200, maybe more horsepower.
Yeah, I think
engine.
Like 220 horse out of a little 4-cylinder back in like the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow.
My buddy had a boxy Cavalier.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So not the early 90s, like the late 80s body style. And it was a 4-cylinder manual transmission. Mm-hmm. And that thing, it was like one of the fastest cars in my high school.
Yeah, same.
That thing was stupid fast.
Super easy to work
from
on.
Stop, like first and second gear.
Well, they were like a little
my buddy
4-cylinder V8. Right?
Like yeah.
In the way they... Although, didn't they have something weird with the balance shaft or the cam was... I don't know.
It was a dual overhead cam deal. They had a really long, swoopy intake. I remember my buddy in high school had a Comp G, 04 Comp G, and we used to race, and it was always surprisingly close.
Huh.
But anyway, where I was going is
yep.
The 3800 Camaro. I mean, just starting back in the days.
3800 F-bodies.
Why didn't ZZP pick up the Camaro F-body?
I don't know.
Or Firebird.
I'm so frustrated. Like, that would have been the Tim car. Like, it's all my fault.
Because like, you didn't buy one.
You know, it
you
is
heard
100%
it's
my
Tim's
fault.
Yep. We don't have a full turbo kit.
Like,
for the...
So, Zoom and Matt both had Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were very quick for what they were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like... You know, I had my Eclipses, like many of them, and Zoom's like, you know what, you know Turbo, like, you need to be a better employee. Like, you need to be a better employee. You need to buy
you
one
suck.
Of these cars. You know, I'm going to give you a raise to buy a car.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, like, you buy a car, and I'm going to give you a raise to cover it.
We're still kind of that way. I'm like, you be better. Buy a ZZP platform
kinda,
car.
Yeah. It's just peer pressure.
Yeah.
Like,
equal. Everybody to buying platform cars.
Yeah, the boss doesn't have to. We pressure ourselves. But, yeah, so, like, I went and bought the nicest Grand Prix that we had in the company for sure. It was, like, a 60,000-mile perfect condition. You know, burgundy one. And it should have been an F body.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been a manual tranny.
A fire chicken.
Firebird for sure. Like, I'm still so mad about it. Like, you know, our whole equalizer thing. I remember I'm so mad about it. Like, so this dude comes in with a GT2 cam and pace setter headers on his V6 Firebird.
Uh-huh.
And I dyno it and the car made like 230 wheel.
Yep.
Whew.
Sounds
and
right.
And it sounded good.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, why does this car sound good?
I don't know.
Because both manifolds just go like this.
Yeah.
Because of the darn equal length.
Yeah.
Headers,
yeah.
Equaler.
Equaler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm just so mad. Like, he had the headers And then they, like, I think it was like a true duel or something, mm-hmm. that, which probably helped it even more. Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, the Firebird is what I should have owned. It's all my fault. And Zoom had a thing. They were doing their thing. Like, and then we had Ken back in the day too with the Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. We didn't need a fourth Grand Prix.
Yeah.
We didn't, you know, and then Matt had his Monte Carlo as well.
It was like
we didn't need another Grand Prix.
The old version of the like ATS platform. I mean, manual rear-wheel drive, 3800 is bulletproof. So if we
You look at all the suspension options out there for the F body, you know, everything BMR sells is absolutely stuff right down our
catalog.
Yeah, we could have so many cool parts for that.
They
would even hop over into the V8 guys, you know, because we'd get the V8 traffic, whether they have a 3800 or not. Our suspension components would work for them.
Yep.
And, you know, interior mods and just the whole thing. You know, I still kind of want one.
I would love one, except you sit in an F body now, and the interior, you can still sit in the Grand Prix and be like, okay, I can appreciate it. The F body is not.
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
I feel like the interiors are the same. I don't like the ribbing on the seats.
Yeah, that's
the ribbing on the seats is terrible. That dates them.
Uh-huh.
But I do like how the feet. I like the feel of the F body seat. And and it shares the same Pontiac design.
Yeah.
Interior dash gauge cluster center.
Maybe
console.
I'm thinking of the Camaro. We had a Camaro as a shop car when I was in high school, and I remember even back then sitting in that this is
Camaro's a little rough.
Yeah.
The my problem is I still once a month hop on Marketplace and I'm looking around. They're still expensive.
Yeah.
If you want a legit 3800 manual car.
Yeah.
The problem is some old guy has it, and he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. Yep. And it's you can't get one for less than $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So
You go to the junkyard.
Well, you know, what's cool is the F-Body 3800 got the cool intake manifold.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks cool.
A guy with that naturally aspirated one that runs really fast.
I don't know what engine he runs, but Tim Cole or whatever from Comp Camps.
He has a 3800 F body.
No, it's a third gen Camaro that runs single digits.
Oh, I thought it was 3800 powered. I thought we knew a fast 3800 powered one. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody on the pages.
I can't think of one. I know. I will say ZZP did have a turbo kit for that for a while.
We did?
Yes, we did.
What?
Back in the day.
It sucks because we developed a turbo kit and it was a pretty good turbo kit. One huge downfall is that you had to remove your AC. That sucks. Was the most affordable way that we could do it. Mm-hmm. And we sold that turbo kit, but what sucks is during our moving building to building, the jigs kind of disappeared. We didn't label our jigs, and we just basically forgot how to make the kit. Just like our LS truck turbo kit that we also sold.
Right.
That's, you know, and those are, that's kind of too... had an LS turbo kit. It used the factory one manifold, and then it had a power log on the other manifold with a U-pipe that went
like
to
everybody's
the other
doing 10 years later.
Yes. And it was trick. It was nice. Like a stainless power log on one side, loops to the other, puts the turbo on the passenger side right behind the headlight.
You could have kept your Suburban.
I know.
You could have put it on your toe.
It's, you know, one thing that bugs me is there's so many products that ZZP made that I wish I'd bought and put in a barn.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
barn find ZZP. Vintage products.
There's so many products all the time. I'm like, man, we don't sell that anymore. How cool would that be to have that right now? You know.
I mean,
yeah, man. If we would have had that, truck turbo kit now with all the sloppy guys.
Well, Matt mentioned that white Firebird.
That's
that
the one
runs
I'm thinking
Martin.
Of. That's the oh, one yeah. I'm thinking of.
Yeah, the white one that runs 1240s in the
1240 NA. That's not
it. Sounds
bad.
So cool too. When he's rolling through the pits, you almost wouldn't know it's a 3800 with how aggressive it sounds. It's cool.
Okay.
Totally interested.
And also, you know, shameless plug. If you have an equalizer, people also don't know that you have a V6.
They think you got a 2JZ in that thing.
Sounds amazing. I was talking to one of our customers, and he was He was like, nope, I'm not running your tuner car mods. This guy loves us. Michigan Sound Wizard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Orson,
oh,
okay. Mr. Orson.
Yeah.
He like, I was like, man, you need an equalizer, because he emails me, you know, still about his NA build. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, you need equalizers. He's like, I'm not doing your 2JZ tuner car mod. I want my 3800 to sound like a 3800. And I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, we were shooting a little reel of Nick's car. If you're on here, Nick, you know, thanks for coming in and letting us work on your car, and good luck picking it up this weekend. But we were shooting a little video, and Nick's car has a standard exhaust on it. We're out front doing a reel this morning, and I'm like, I haven't heard one of these in a long time. An equalizer. Yeah. But
like at idle, you're like, man, that sounds pretty good. And you blip on it, and you're like,
it's a 3800.
Shaking the building.
Yeah, it set a car alarm off the other day in the gas station while I was tuning it.
Was that the NIC car?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounding like an NIC.
Yeah, it's got a good cam.
He said he wanted the chop. I gave him the chop.
He got the chop.
Oh, it's chop.
Yep. But so going off that, obviously, you already mentioned it. The Cavalier, the J-Bodies.
Yep. Yeah.
Cavalier, Sunfire. But they never really came in a performance.
Don't you dare forget to say the Beretta.
Hey, and the Beretta.
We're gonna run with this real quick before can we shout out Josh Sinful J.
Oh yeah.
We got his car finally fixed. It's been a dang old year we were working on this MAF sensor issue. Pardon me, Josh, for not picking out that it was a MAF sensor issue a long time ago. You'd think your tuner would know, but no, I'm kidding. We've been working really hard, and he hasn't given up on the car 100% at all. We've just been full diag, and we finally got to the bottom of it. We're going to pulley it down. We're going to lean on it. His car already is super happy and runs lots of time.
Tell the people the problem you were having.
Yeah. So his LQ4 MAF, for whatever reason, I've seen it maybe one other time. It would just, he'd be doing a wide open throttle pull, and at 5,100 RPM, every pull it would just flatline.
Weird.
And the O2 would fall off and the airflow would increase, but we weren't being able to see the airflow increase because the MAF wasn't monitoring the airflow. But the car would just go lean and stop registering airflow at 5,100 RPM, first gear, second gear, didn't matter. It would run 10,300 hertz across the MAF and just stop. Which is frustrating because, you know, we think we got a flow restriction. The MAF stops reading.
Yeah.
The MAF stops reading. It's a new MAF. What do we know?
And it's not like it would drop off.
No, it would just peter right off. Yeah. Like, it would just plateau right off. Huh. And, you know, literally shout out to Josh for checking fuel pressure, checking everything that I asked him to do. And then, you know, finally we just kind of, Tyler and Tim and I got together and we're looking at a scan. And I'm like, man, he's tried this. And Tim's like, what about this? I'm like, he's tried that. And then, we just got down to it and we're like, let's try a MAF sensor. So I sent him a MAF sensor and
sure enough,
scan comes back. I'm like, I was jumping for joy, brother. Like, hell yes. So,
oh yeah. Nothing better than figuring those weird things out.
I got him an update. We're able to actually tune the car now that the MAF, because he's got a NIC cam with a full stack intercooler, Gen 5. It's going to move more than 10,500 hertz. You know, we're going to probably dang near be maxing that LQ4 at 11.5. So, not to run on this, but guys with car issues that are working with us, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
And when we've modified so many things, it can get a little muddy. But stick with it because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Tim, just this week, how many cars were we having issues with? And
quite a few.
Even us, we get down in the dumps and frustrated with vehicle issues, and you just got to power through because it's always worth it. It's always worth it.
Yeah, and we've got so many great minds around here that, you know, somebody may have given up because things get frustrating for that day, but
we can talk it over. To recap, just 100% faulty MAF sensor right off the shelf, and you know.
Yeah, and those are Adam Project. Just asked what brand. Those are OEM MAFs.
Yeah, LQ4 MAF. So. Weird deal.
Yeah, we definitely do not ever promote Chinese MAFs. Yeah.
No, like, not even parts store. The AC Delco ones are trash. Not AC Delco. AutoZone. Yeah.
Genuine AC Delco, Hitachi, you know, stick with the good names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, do not buy any remands ever. You are, like, you are better off going to a pick and pull
yep.
and pulling a 100,000-mile one out of a car there that does not have a sticker on it or any grinding of the surface of
those
it.
Those are always pocket snacks for me. Whenever I'm walking through, I'm just like, whoop.
Walking through with a pocket full of fuses.
But yeah, so J-bodies.
J-bodies, baby.
Yeah, I mean, they were the Cobalt before the Cobalt.
Ryan Derrick gets a call a week. We get a customer at the front desk a week. I got a Cavalier, and I want to go fast.
And you're like, sorry, bud.
Yeah.
Man, I heard your Cobalt shorty header fits if I do this, and this.
Yep.
Yep.
I always, it really does. I always wanted a Beretta.
Yeah.
Brettas?
Like, we've been looking at them lately.
There's that one down the street above.
Gosh.
Brettas. That's Terry's.
That's a good car.
That's a Cavalier.
Oh, that one's a Cavalier. Okay.
Yep. He had hydraulics on it. Now it's bagged.
Oh,
it's bagged?
Super nice.
I've never seen it laid out then.
Dang. Oh, yeah. It's, yep. It used to be hydraulics back in the
I think his laid out is like your ride height, Randy.
Oh, probably. Okay. I was like,
no, it lays out.
Yeah.
Really? I've never seen it laid out. I'm interested. Terry, lay it out.
Terry has had that car for
like
ever.
Thing is clean.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Every time I go to Bell to drop off a customer car I'm always like...
You know what bums me out? Speaking of J-Body Berettas, I was talking to Terry because he's our good guy down the road that works with us on a lot of alignments. And I'm like, hey, Terry, when are we putting a 3800 in that thing? He goes, man... If I did anything, it'd be the LSJ. And I'm like, God dang it. Yes.
LSJT.
I can't disagree with him, but
come on. I can't disagree with you, but that's hurtful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's part of the reason was those cars were big as ZZP was starting. And that was before the Cobalt. So we only
Michigan Sound Wizards on here. I don't know.
Hey, yeah.
We were talking about you earlier in case you weren't in here.
Yeah. But
Tim,
like,
Tim had some choice words.
Yeah. The Cavalier is a fantastic platform. I mean, it's just a smaller, crappier Cobalt. But one of the reasons is the tuning support isn't great. If you ever look, like, it's bad.
Yeah, might as well just do Omega Squared.
Yeah, like, pretty much. But, you know,
which
the F23 was
gotta have the HP tuner support.
Yep. Yeah. F23, good transmission. Mm-hmm. They came with the Ecotecs and quad fours, and you know, but you know, it was before we really got into anything four cylinder, and then Cobalt came out, and you know, the rest is history. But
yeah, there was a guy locally to me in Tidewater when I lived in Virginia that had a LSJ Swatch J body, that white cabbie.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who do that,
and it was like a full bore blower bill.
Mm-hmm.
He cleaned up in a lot of events he went to.
I'm actually curious what...
My favorite part about the Cavalier is how smooth and clean the body lines are.
Yeah.
Like, there's no molding on the side. Yep. And, like, when you get the right wheel on it and all of a sudden it's a little bit lower, it just is so clean and sleek looking.
The no door molding and also the fact that the door handles themselves follow the body line of the car.
Yep.
Like, there's... Every door handle nowadays is sticking off the car 2.5 inches, 3 inches.
Yep.
And you're like, well...
Yeah, even the front end isn't terrible when you put a good headlight in it and like got the right thing going on. They look really cool.
Yeah,
and I really liked the J-body stuff because if you're a parts hunter like myself, you could find a lot of Toyota parts for them over in Canada and stuff like that. You could do like a full Toyota conversion on the car, and it was just such a weird looking thing. It's like when you see a Civic with like a Suzuki front end swap or something like that. It just looks right, but just a little bit wrong. Like, it's a very weird car.
Yeah, I always thought
they
got to
be light as heck.
You know, that's what I thought. I looked it up. 26 to 2800.
They're really not that light.
Not that light. I would have guessed 24, you know. But, so, you know, not that much lighter than a Cobalt.
But still really cool cars.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the Z24 models.
Oh, yeah. You get the lip kit.
The lip kit. Yeah. Good man. Car. Yeah.
Heck yeah. You know what we forgot, Tyler?
What did we forget?
Featured product.
Oh, featured product. Yeah. You know,
we were so excited to talk about what ZZP didn't do back in the day.
Let's talk about some things we are doing.
Yeah, no kidding. We got our alternator voltage boosters for the 3800 hopping back on the website.
Yep.
0.6 volts to your charging system right here. Plugs in line with your alternator. Super cool mod, right, Tim?
Underrated.
Absolutely underrated. I should know how much it is. It's not much. You install it in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it is 0.6 volts. Seriously. Like if you're running anything Audio related or performance related, this is a must have mod for your fuel pump and everything in general.
We were just talking about bolt-ons last week. This is a clip-on.
It's a snap-in. And then for our, since we're talking about platforms that we don't really support, for our DIYers, we've got our HD clamps here. Commonly referred to as, these are Wiggins style.
Wiggins clamps.
Yeah, Wiggins style. Yep. Four piece. You got some internal O-rings in here that snap into a centerpiece.
They are
that should be lubricated,
which is great.
But yeah, you can custom make your charge pipes. Mr. Randy might be, you know.
Yeah, I got a couple of those sitting on a box downstairs.
But they're pretty killer, and they hold.
Not a single one of us that doesn't want one of those on every one of our
every charge pipe.
When we were talking about green car, rebuilding green car this year, I was like, I got to use them.
Just think of not having a silicone coupler that you got to fight on and off, and all you got to do is this.
So and then looks the pipe cool, just comes across. Works well, holds 100 plus pounds. Cool. Like yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's
and just, they've got wiggle room like a silicone coupler.
You know, and hey, like it makes when you have to remove your charge pipe to change your oil filter a snap.
Makes a snap, literally.
Makes or it a little easier.
When your girlfriend likes to take your car to the gas station and cram all the intercooler pipes into the curbing, it ain't going to tear.
Well, both sleeping outside.
Or you just had too many at Tail of the Dragon and just you're trying to move the car around. You know?
Whoops.
But yeah, great clamps, good price too. What are they, $50? Something like that on this
Yeah,
side? They're great clamp for the dollars.
Somebody mentioned it, and I wanted to bring this up. Another platform that I wish personally that we would have grabbed onto was the Pontiac Vibe.
Man.
The Vibe GT.
You've been vibing on that Vibe all day.
Dude, I'm with Tyler. I love the Vibe GT.
Yeah.
Katie had one before she got her Escape.
What engine does that have?
It's a 2ZZ. It's a Toyota. Lotus, brother.
Yeah.
It's a Corolla, but it's a Lotus.
But don't they rev to like 9?
I think it's like 88 something. Cool. So, yeah. It's
that sounds awesome.
Very stout engine.
Why are you guys talking about
that? And there's that one that's just been tearing up.
I know it's going to be showing up on my marketplace now.
Tim's like RPM.
That car, though, because same thing as you know, we're always looking at marketplace. Those are same with the Saturn View Redline.
Yeah.
People keep those forever.
Yep.
The only time you ever see them is if they're crashed or 250,000 plus miles.
That is fair. It's kind of like an HHR. You get an HHR and you drive it till it dies.
Yeah. Yeah. But I always thought they looked really good. The hatchback, you know, is great. Yeah.
Hot hatch that came in a manual.
Yeah. Hot hatch with the manual.
They're
and
better than the Aztec.
They do look better
than the
Aztec.
They look better than the Aztec, that's for sure. But especially like the late model ones where they refreshed them, they looked a little bigger, but they really came together styling-wise and fit Pontiac's whole vibe they had going.
Well, you're done, bud. You're done.
So I know.
But yeah, great cars, great price. I mean,
yeah.
I think when Katie...
The interior was pretty cool.
We finally sold Katie's, I don't know, like 5 years ago now, and it had like 290,000 miles on it.
I mean, I can see why. It's a Toyota engine, so it didn't really fit into what we were doing. But I think they take boost pretty well.
They do.
You know, maybe we look
up. You and I just like cool, weird cars.
Yeah, we do like weird cars.
We talk about weird stuff.
Cool.
Listen,
hey.
Michael.
Weird for sure.
Mr.
Weird
F-150.
For sure.
Chill back there.
How about this? A forgotten platform. Pontiac.
Just Pontiac.
Yeah, we were
just
talking about that.
I'm mad at GM. Like, GM gets rid of Pontiac. Like, Pontiac was such a cool platform.
It was.
Oh, I know.
The
G8. What a heartbreak.
The Bonneville, all the Pontiacs were sweet cars, and GM just forgot about them.
What's cool is Pontiac made a car. It didn't matter what it was. We all here liked it.
Yep.
We all would have drove it. We all would have modded
Even
it.
Even back down to the Grand Am. Like
the
Grand Am GT.
It was on my list. I didn't want to bring it up first.
I don't know.
Why do you think it didn't get a 3800?
I don't know.
It
the 3400 wasn't bad, though.
It wasn't terrible, supported.
But,
why did they not just use the same... Why did they create an entirely new V6?
I don't know.
It was like the same, but worse.
It's the same, but bad.
Just doing GM things.
Well, we made Grand Am parts for a while, didn't we? A couple?
Yeah, it was like a downpipe, I think. Nah, and
I just remember going to ZZPerformance.com back in the early days when I had my Cobalt, and Grand Am was one of the ones you could choose.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought
if you go on the Wayback Machine, you can still see it.
Their exterior styling was way ahead of the Grand Prix, in my opinion.
Same with the interior. Like, the interior of the Pontiacs was the coolest interiors of GM.
Two-door,
like,
four-door.
The age of green dash lights.
They got red.
Oh, boy.
Red,
baby.
Like
red, baby. Yeah.
But they really did. They were very modern, even in the parts bin era of GM. Like, the touches that they put into the Pontiacs just made them that much better.
Pontiacs were the sportiest looking and feeling cars that GM
absolutely
made.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then
it's like you can get a Chevy Malibu or a Grand Am. What are you going to buy?
Yeah.
Grand Am.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
All day.
Like Ram Air Grand Am GT. That was a cool car.
It was a good looking car. Yep. I really thought so.
The styling was just crazy for the
time. Well, like
in
2005, it was a car that you could get your wife and she could drive to work all week and then your kid could take it to prom. Grand Am GT, you know.
Oh, yeah. We had a local guy who had he had one on bags. It had Lambo doors because, you know, that's what you did back then. But other than the Lambo doors, that thing looked great.
Good car.
They're
good
cool.
Car.
If they only got a 3800.
Yep.
But either way.
We could buy
that was
a
bummer. That was a bummer that they didn't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then along the same lines, the Pontiac G6 like had potential.
No, it didn't.
What trans was in the Grand Am?
Same 4T65.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
That's what I thought.
But
that's why I'm so. There's a lot of them out there actually, and there's a couple guys a month that post on the 3800 performance group with swapped Grand Ams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I gotta believe it's pretty easy.
Speaking of swapped things, you see that Regal that somebody's doing a 3800 Rubo drive?
That's our boy Tyler.
Yeah.
Pittman.
I like that.
So he
that's cool.
So he did the whole Grand Prix deal. Rear wheel drive swapped his 600 horsepower front wheel drive Grand Prix. Decided that wasn't good enough,
and then did another one.
Yeah, that was the car at Dino Days that scared Tim.
That thing made like 580.
Yeah, 580. Tim's like, I didn't know.
I mean, you know, honestly, like that was my mistake. Like, I don't expect much. And then I floor the gas, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, surprised me. You got me on that one. That was good. That was cool.
Yeah, that was
cool.
That was 2018.
2018.
Yeah, and it was way ahead of everything else.
Yeah.
That thing was
so he rear-wheel drive swapped that and then did another one, and now he just bought a Buick, and I saw him buy the Buick, and I was like, heck yeah. Oh, and he's calling it the Granny National.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did I not think of that?
The Granny National.
Yeah, I love that. That car's going to be...
That's kind of genius, really.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a it's like an 02 Buick Regal GS that he's rear-wheel drive swapping. What a guy.
That's
anyways, back to the
awesome.
Best car, the G6.
Somebody brought it
up. G6 any longer.
It did get an F40.
It did get an F40.
That car.
Yeah. That was the coolest thing about the car.
Yeah.
It got an F40.
That car is the king queen of plastic.
Yeah.
It had the worst.
Have you met Saturn?
And super big sunroofs that don't work.
Plastic interior, like
interior,
vomit.
Interior.
Just vomit plastic interior.
And it had that sweet spoiler on the back.
Yeah.
Oh god,
yeah,
the whale tail.
With the whale tail, the biggest wing ever made by a.
But
I like that wing.
It dwarfs the Porsche whale tail.
Yeah, it does.
Think about the downforce, though. You know,
it was just
speaking
obnoxious
of downforce,
enough
we got Ryan
that it
chat down there.
It was so obnoxious.
Ryan Derrick, you keep talking GXP. We're gonna talk about the Grand Prix
GXP.
Oh. GXP.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't know what won.
No, I know.
I'm talking about the V8.
Yep.
Like,
talk about lost platforms.
All-wheel drive.
I don't...
Oh, the OG.
Yeah.
The OG.
I remember seeing that video.
Yep.
what, GXP GT something or other, all-wheel drive, 4T65.
Mm-hmm. Was that a DOD engine?
Woo!
Yeah.
No, that was way before
DOD. That was an LS4 car, wasn't it?
LS4 is DOD, isn't it?
It was. That's that car definitely was not DOD.
Oh, okay.
Maybe not that one you're talking about, the all-wheel drive one, but my 05 was DOD.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. The Series 3 3800 body style. Yeah, that was
DOD. You're talking about the...
I'm talking Series 2
uh-huh.
with the all-wheel drive V8.
Have you ever seen the promo video for that car?
It's so good.
It's hilarious. It runs a 0 to 60 in a screeching...
5.5 seconds.
5.8 or whatever it is.
Just the quarter mile in 12.9 or 13.0 or I don't know.
But what's funny is GM... hates power and all-wheel drive.
Oh yeah, they don't.
No, they love it. Their transmissions hate. That's the problem.
But they don't do it.
They will
not
never
put
do
the
it.
Two together.
Like the first, like there was that car, which was like I don't know, a concept car, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. And then the very next time they did it was, well, I mean, obviously somebody's gonna bring up the Typhoon and the Cyclone,
Typhoon,
which
yeah.
you know,
you are
hats
correct,
off
Matt.
To you. Awesome. But the Escalade V.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. They finally did it.
Mm.
You know, a 30
years
power
later. All it takes is $140,000.
Yeah. $140,000 for one use.
Yep.
Yeah. Like,
as much as my house.
I just saw that like 3 days ago on Marketplace.
Yeah.
Marketplace? Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what? $140,000 for a used one? Like, oh my
goodness.
We
all just turn into a bunch of old men on Marketplace. We like drop it in our chats and stuff like that. We're like, look at this plum crazy purple shoe. I have this just like it. Man, 12.5, that guy's crazy. Like, it's all day Marketplace ads in the chats.
So, going off all-wheel drive, one... misplatform, especially that's coming up lately, is the Atlas 4200 and the Trailblazer.
Yeah.
That had
You're
all
talking the about the Amerebera.
The Amerebera.
Yeah.
But
good engine.
It obviously we wouldn't have got into it because it only came in the Trailblazer.
Yeah.
Steve Hickman is standing
Envoy.
Up right now.
Well, yeah.
I think I can hear him downstairs actually.
Yeah, like the door is going to open at any moment. However, that engine has a harmonics problem, kind of like our LE5.
It
like,
does, yeah.
You like what is it? Like you can't rev it to 7, but you can rev it to 9.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't keep it at 7. It'll,
just get it past 7 as
blast
quick as
it
you
past.
Can.
Yeah, as quick.
And
as
then
you
it'll
can,
go to 9.
Or it'll blast apart like the Space Shuttle Columbia. It's just, it's the worst.
That still might be too soon, right?
Sorry, I'm not sorry. But good engine if you get from the 7 and 9.
Yeah.
That's
good engine. And then going off of that, because, you know, near and dear to my heart, the 5-cylinder Colorados.
Oh.
Fantastic sounding engine.
That's a good sound.
It made
engine.
Some pretty decent power. The 2.7s were like 270 horse. The 2.9s, or sorry, 3.7, 3.5 and 3.7. 3.7s made like dang near 300. They share some Ecotech parts.
You could get a manual with the AR5?
Yes.
Yeah, trans.
Very rare with the 5-cylinder. The 4-cylinders, I don't know why they didn't put an Ecotech in it.
Yeah.
They made their own 2.5 or 2.7 and 2.9, which were weird, but
it is weird.
I love the way they sound. A 5-cylinder anything's cool.
5-cylinder sounds good.
Apparently some company on eBay now makes a turbo kit for them or a turbo manifold.
What I like about the 5-cylinder is it's impossible to screw up the firing order.
Uh-huh.
Like it has to be like the coolest sounding fire order that you can have.
Oh man.
You know, speaking of cool sounds, and I don't mean to jump back into the
that's
drive right. game, the North Star.
Ooh,
the dang old dual overhead cam V8.
I have so much to say about that.
So like, no, seriously. Back in the day, Tim, walk us through. We're dealing with all these Bonnevilles, 3800s.
Yeah.
You had one. 05, they come out with a GXP Northstar V8 dual overhead cam. And you guys were just like, nah.
Nah.
we were so...
mess up?
No, I'm not with that one. Very cool, but at that era of ZZP, we were maxed out making 3,800 parts.
Yeah.
We were not ready for a new platform.
I know. I completely understand.
Back then, our fab guys were like also our production welders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, do our customers need downpipes or do we need North Star parts?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To this day, there's still not a header you can buy for that car.
No, I believe it. My friend Reggie had a XLR with the Northstar V8. Yep.
And I love like, those cars.
He did all the car audio. He did all the appearance mods. And he was like, I need to do some performance stuff. He looks into it. There's a guy that like sells some regrind cams and some like EEPROM chip tunes and stuff. Like super old school car. But he was like, I need to do an exhaust on this. So we're looking at it. And I'm like, all right. I think we need to try a Magnaflow muffler on it. So we put a Magnaflow muffler on his exhaust. That engine sounded so good.
Yeah.
The Northstar V8 in a north-south location sounds totally European V8.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it revs to 6,500, but it sounds like it revs to 7,500. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, it sounded so cool. It's one of the coolest-sounding V8s I've heard. And all he did was, some Magnaflow mufflers on the back. Like,
it's very surprising to me, not just outside of ZZP, how it never got picked up by anyone. I mean, the only company that I know of is run by a guy we know.
It's the only dual overhead cam V8 GM's ever done.
I think so.
The Blackwing engine and the CT6V.
That Blackwing engine is like...
This year?
Let's just call it a concept.
Last year?
It pretty much was a concept. It came in 400 cars, which is going to make it impossible to find anything in the future.
Wow, it only came in 400, but it's a production vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought their mark was 500 for some reason.
Maybe
it was. But still, but that's so crazy low.
So crazy low. The CT6V Blackwing had a... one-off engine, dual overhead or quad cam, twin turbo hot V configuration, like
on the inside like a Ferrari.
Oh yeah, like super killer engine. And GM was hyping it up, and then they were like, "Guys, we didn't measure, and it doesn't fit in any of the trucks."
Yeah.
So
sorry.
That's it. That's all we did.
That's all, folks. Just kept on going.
CA06.
C8 Z06.
There you go,
Matt. We're poor.
So oh, we the old that. ZR1 too. Yeah,
I forget about that.
Oh, I do forget about the old.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Again,
these guys schooling us. Forget That's why you're here.
We
don't know nothing. Anyway.
Yeah, the JPL, the XLR-V is supercharged, just like the
STSV.
The STSV that Tim Cooling here, one of our fab guys, has one that made like 500 wheel.
Oh, it's silly.
Like, and he's been driving the same car for like 15 years.
It still gets down.
No, it makes like 560 on pump gas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a spicy car.
It made down.
I think that with the turbo on it. That thing has been through all the things. Like it had
the last
a turbo
time
on
I was
it.
On the dyno, it was making so much power, and he's just like tickling it a little bit, and I'm like, I don't even understand this, man.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool car though.
Like 20 inch two-piece, I don't know, fancy like wheel.
He is not afraid to floor it either. Like,
no,
he's not.
He floors it every day when he leaves.
Every single day when he leaves.
Yeah, when he leaves.
Drives it all winter.
Yep.
What a...
Yeah.
Yep.
And it came with a 4L80 in the front-wheel drive application.
Four T80.
4T80,
yes.
So I got the good transmission.
GM put that 4T80 in the Northstar that everybody's raving about these days, and they never tried it in the 5.3 GXP or anything, or heck, even a 3800 Grand Prix for by any means.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
Like, I think the Northstar got such a bad rap just because of the stupid starter placement, and there was some head gasket issues.
The later Northstars were totally fine.
But like one person said, man, the starter's really hard to do, and then the internet was like,
went crazy.
They're terrible engines, and I was like,
that's
not how that works.
On one of my random late night cars and bids search days, I was looking at the late model like Seville and DTS came with the Northstar.
Those are good.
And man, I'm looking through those, and I was like, what a good cruiser!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like
big old couch.
Big couch with a big V8. I mean,
I would love one of those. Those that same year caddy, but with some like 12-inch Daytons and hydros.
I would a big white fan. One. Oh yeah.
Yep.
I'd put some silly wheels on it, and it would be
tri-coat
fantastic.
Metallic or whatever it is. Good car.
Well, somebody brought it up.
No,
we got a We got to talk about SOP.
Oh, I knew it.
And that's the podcast.
Born from Jets.
Born from Jets. Those commercials, good.
I think one of the funniest things is, so the B207 is an LSJ.
Yep.
It is, when it comes down to the short block, they are identical. Head's a little bit different. Obviously, mm-hmm. It has a turbo on it. But you get on the Saab pages, and everyone rants and raves about how terrible the 207 is. And you got to throw forged internals. They're like, you want more than 350? Forged internals. And it's because the turbo manifold is this big.
Yeah, yeah.
And some dude was arguing today. He's like, oh, yeah, you can make 500 on the stock turbo manifold. You just need forged internals and then this giant list. And I'm like, dude, put a decent manifold on it, decent turbo, and you can make 500 all day.
Let's talk about this. So you could probably do it. Let's put a 60mm wastegate on it and like a 300 shot of nitrous.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. You could make like 500 horse on the stock manifold because you're bypassing all of the stock manifold.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, when it's double the throat of the stock manifold.
So that's probably the original engine with the 3-to-1 or over 3-to-1 back pressure ratio.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it would be intriguing to...
like a V3 turbo, the appropriate sized V3 turbo for a B207 would be amazing.
Yep.
Which is like 257.
Absolutely.
257 feels real good.
Mike, we can get into the photos now because I'm going to jump to the overseas cars because Ryan won't shut up about it.
Oh, man.
You got photos?
Yeah, he like prepared.
I got a couple photos of some cars that, you know, we wish we would have over here.
Oh, man.
The first one has got to be for Mr. Ryan Derrick, the Opel Astra J-OPC.
Yeah.
So, I think, that one right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, that's a good car.
That is cool.
Why?
That's everything I want my Sonic to be.
What's the drivetrain?
It's LHU.
LSU,
LHU, F40, and the OPC was like the hot model, so it got a better tune. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in Australia, for Holden, it was the VXR, which also looks cool.
Yeah.
But it's... like a Regal interior. Obviously, it's got pretty similar Regal. Actually, I think those are Cascada wheels? Something. They came on something in the States, those wheels.
I think you're right. They actually came on in the Insignia VXR has those same wheels.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they came on anything here in the States.
I feel like I recognize them.
They're very
them.
Similar to the wheels that like Tim has on his car.
They're very similar to mine. The face is just flat.
Yeah.
Like the cool. Spokes,
killer car.
You can see the GS wheel on that.
It's like a GS wheel with a lower offset.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, and they came in a three
look
door.
Look at the
hatch.
Bottom of the door, Tim. How much that reflects your Regal.
It's a Regal. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Well,
that is like,
and even the roof line and the windows.
Because the Regal is an
Opel without a back door. Yeah.
The Regal is an Opel Insignia, and GM started to bring a couple of those cars over, and we got the Saturn Astra, but it had a freaking 1.8 and it was garbage.
Yeah.
And ugly.
Like,
bring the cool looking one over.
But Europe and Australia got all these killer cars. They had the Astra. The next one, we got the Insignia. Man, I got a whole list here of different Opels that
all people want. Oh, that's
where it's at, baby.
Oh, the long roof.
Isn't that the Regal? It's the Tourx. Yeah, the Regal Tour X.
It's a Tour X, but that one went to college.
Yeah. That one got rid of its ugly plastics and looks great.
I don't know why they gave us the cladding over here in
because
America.
Everybody wants that SUV.
Yeah, everybody wants a crossover.
And in Europe, they have wagons, and wagons are cool. Hit us with let's go with the Opel Adam S.
Matt, you're going to get beat up if you keep talking about that thing looking like a Mazda 3.
Oh no.
I know where you sleep.
Oh no, I'm not into this.
You don't like the Atom?
No.
That looks like
a Mini Cooper.
I think they're cool.
It kind of looks like a BART to me.
It does. 500.
Similar.
But we've got one customer. So the Opel Atom S came with the same LUV, LUJ that we have in the Sonics. It's just a little smaller. It got the two-door.
Yep.
You know, very European looking, obviously.
I've tuned a whole bunch of these.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tim's tuned a bunch of them, and They're just cool.
I really like it, but it's I can look at a car and I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna fit in that.
Yeah. Race seats fix everything. Yeah,
I would have to mount a turkey to the floor.
We can fit in pretty much anything with the right race seat.
But I think that's great looking. Good car.
Mike hit us with the Vectra.
Ooh. Oh.
There it is.
Oh, there it
so,
is.
So
now we're talking.
Yep. So that's the Astra, but a four door.
Yep.
I know why you like this car.
Well, it's blue.
That reminds me of what the Malibu SS.
Yep.
Yo. Oh, the Malibu Max
SS.
Yes.
So
well,
same,
yeah.
Or same, even just the normal one.
Same platform. It's the same thing as the Saturn Aura and the Malibu of that time. Mm-hmm. Except in Europe, they got the cool one with 2.8 V6 turbo manual F40.
I don't. Isn't that fair?
Because we're Americans and. Mm-hmm. Even America.
Wait, I could not own that. I could not own that, but I would love if one of you guys owned it.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty cool. Hit us with the Zafira next, which you guys are going to hate except for Randy.
Yep, I love that.
Yeah, okay.
That is a Randy car if I've ever seen
one. Okay. That would, if I owned it, it would make like 500 wheel.
So, the best part about this is it came with an LHU.
Yep.
And it was manual.
So I know a lot about the Zafira.
Yeah.
It was offered as manual.
Okay, pretty cool.
I know a lot about the Zafira because a lot of those interior parts fit into my Encore.
Ah.
So I have like an airbag and all that from the Opel version of the Zafira just to do a full conversion. So.
Just, it's so bizarre to me how after 2010, GM pretty much was like, yeah, let's just stop making fast cars except for the Corvette.
They really did.
And Europe got all these cool hot models, we didn't get anything.
You're not wrong. 2000.
Can we put Matt / Captain Slow's home address, email address, and like social security number in the chat right now?
He's so old, his social security number is like 3. So. You can just mute Matt for a bit. That's fine. Shut up, Matt.
I kind of like Matt.
Yeah, you would.
You would.
I love the
If you cut the tail of the dragon with us, Mike, you'll meet him and then you'll change your mind.
That's not true. Matt's a great guy.
I love Matt.
He's got some interesting opinions.
Mike hit us with the true 140S. So this is where concept comes in. I can only find two that I really like.
Oh my goodness.
So these debuted the same year as the Chevy Aveo RS concept, which turned into the Sonic. Cool, great, glad we have it. But they also debuted this concept.
Wow, that's cool.
And then the 130R, which is the next one, which is kind of like a weird, almost El Camino-y car.
Ooh, interesting. Oh,
can't see it.
Oh, not that.
Nope. That's a Sonic Camaro.
Oh, yeah, this car. I remember this one.
So they debuted these at the same time, and GM was like, yeah, cool. We're going to get young people to buy cars. These are going to be around $20,000. They were going to have the 1.4.
Yep.
Just neat-looking cars, and then they were like,
that would have, like, competed directly with, like, the 1.24 Spyder and stuff like that Fiat made.
But then they realized that America only wants crossovers, and they're like, we have to get rid of everything cool and just make 5 different versions
we're gonna make
of
the same crossover. 5 different SUVs with an RS badge.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh. And just give them black wheels.
Just the crossover, the first one, crossover.
The
but
white,
they nailed it.
Yeah, not wrong. The white two-door at the beginning there, it kind of looked like they took like a new gen Prius and a Sonic and they were like, kiss.
Yeah, no kiss.
It looked just like that. It's the same car.
That white, that one before reminded me of an ELR.
Yeah.
So that one right there on the left.
That looks more like an ELR, yeah.
So that's, both of them there. Huh. Just neat little two-door coupes. Would have been great.
Very ELR.
That two-door coupe, if that had a 1.4 and there was rear-wheel drive, I would be driving one of those. That would be the coupe.
We would all have one.
That I drive.
We would all have one.
Yep, I would have bought that.
GM, go back.
Why would we say 1.4 and not say LHU?
Well, just because that's what they said they were going to come with.
Yeah. Man.
Which does seem like a weird engine for those, but
I mean, if they're light enough.
I need somebody to tell me why GM like axed the LHU so quickly. Like, why?
I don't know either.
It was like 2-3 years.
Yeah, like, that was a very short-lived engine. Mm-hmm. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, it had to be, there has to be a reason. Like, is it bad with emissions? Like, what is wrong with that engine?
When the LHU came out shortly afterwards, they kind of cracked down a bunch on EPA stuff. Yeah. And GM's, like, quick solution to this was make the engine much smaller to get...
Yeah.
CF, or your, what is it, cubic?
Cafe.
Yeah, but they still have the LTG. So they ditch the LHU and they go to the LTG. Like, what is better about an LTG than an LHU? And that's a serious question.
Yeah.
Like, I really have a hard time believing that the LTG is better at emissions than an LHU.
Could you imagine how easier our lives would be if a Cadillac came with an LHU?
Oh, my goodness, man.
Brother.
Yeah.
For sure.
Man, I don't know. We know some people at GM. Can't we like email somebody and be like questions?
I don't like the amount of customers that come in here and say that they're an engineer at GM. Like, there's probably 20 people.
Like, yeah, we know. We fix all of your problems. Thanks, man.
The problem is GM usually puts like 6 teams of engineers against each other.
Yeah.
So nobody knows what's really.
Yeah, many GM engineers that show up to ZZP, like so many of them. Yep.
I designed the LF3, LF4 inlets. They're,
and you're like, they're perfect. Oh.
My cousin's got a cradle for the ATSV.
Oh, that's cool.
That's very interesting.
What one? There's like two of them.
Cousins or the cradles?
The main engine, like heavy duty one or the light duty one?
Yeah.
We're past 45.
Let's see. Did I have any? Oh, gotta bring it up because we didn't get it here as well. The Holden Commodore Ute.
Oh, I love a Ute.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah, you got a photo in there. It's
anything
under Holden.
Rear wheel drive.
Dude, I love a good pickup truck.
Oh,
that's fast.
Man, like
So there's a guy in Grand Rapids who imported one.
Yeah.
And it runs around with it, and every time I see
I have to say I hate the look, but I respect and love it for it being unique.
Mm.
Like,
cool.
Really?
I appreciate that car.
We had a unique kid in high school that I don't know.
Well, they're cool.
I like it. It's just a G8 with a bed.
The smaller one that came with the 3800?
The earlier Commodores.
Yeah, the Commodore.
Yeah, the Commodore.
Which is a cool car, too. Like, Commodores are cool. Like,
yeah, I don't think I threw that in there.
It's basically a G8.
Yeah.
You can get the Commodores in a wagon with 3800, though.
You can.
That's real cool.
And in Australia, they call them Ecotecs.
They do.
It is funny.
Yep.
And every once in a while, we'll have some guys call up. And
I got a 3800 Ecotec, and you're like,
Ryan's talking to him, and he's like, wait.
Hold on.
Ecotec or 3800? Which one? But the 3800 modding scene in Australia is
a thing.
Is a thing.
Yeah,
they love
guys
their
run,
blowers.
They run air-to-air intercoolers with their blowers.
Yeah,
like,
they do. Yeah.
Some wild stuff. Like,
they'll run extra piping.
Yeah.
Just because they love piping.
Yeah.
They're just all about like spinning that blower way past its efficiency range.
Oh,
and
jamming
it in.
They find ways to give a supercharger lag.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Like that inner... Like that lower intake that adds the air-to-air and loops around. And,
that's a good car. I'll take it.
That's a good car. Do I have any that I missed on there, Mike? Any photos?
We can talk about the Speedster.
Oh, yeah! The Opel Speedster!
Yeah. Opel Speedster, yep.
Oh,
that's
man.
Cool.
Sign me up right now.
So
I've one right now.
Looks like a good little Sky.
They were a Sky before the Sky.
Yeah.
They
it's a Sky, but it's mid-engine, right?
Mid-engine. They came with an L61. I follow a guy on Instagram who has LSJ turbo swapped his and road courses it and has like custom two-piece floating rotors and made a custom inlet for the turbo off the, like, fiberglass the whole thing in.
It does
amazing.
Scream Sky to me because of that trim around the windshield.
I can't not
somebody,
see it.
Somebody find me one of those. I need it.
Cool.
Wait, what year did those come out? Are we getting around 25 years
It might
on
be
those?
Old enough.
2003. 3, I think.
Sounds. Couple more years.
Maybe we can have one.
I like that.
I'm too poor. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to have one, but.
Yeah, I would. I like the idea of importing something rear-wheel drive 3800.
Yeah.
But then I also would just put a 3800 in something American.
American.
Like a Fiero?
No. Ooh. Not a Fiero, bro.
We didn't
a G-body.
G-body!
Just did.
I was going to say it.
So I did have it on the list of things not supported. Fieros, we didn't support the Fiero.
We kind of dropped the ball on the Fiero.
What's
frustrating to me
is we tune them all.
Yes,
and have to deal with all of the side effects. Why didn't we just make it easy for the guys?
I don't know what I mean.
Yeah,
there are like with my many years of working here, like there are Fieros that have body kits. That make them very freaking cool.
If you get the the 88 plus with GT.
GT.
Yeah. GT is good.
There's a customer of ours that has like, I don't know, like 10 Fieros. He's like a Fiero collector.
Wow. Goodness.
And he's got a 3800 powered one and stuff. Like it's a pretty neat car. I don't fit in it, but you know me, if I don't fit, I'll buy a race seat. Like the interior is the only reason I haven't owned a Fiero. Because I cannot get past that darn dashboard and the clusters and stuff. Like, I don't know what to do about that.
I remote tune a lot of them.
Yes.
Like, couple of years.
Just get a Haltech dash.
They're 3 to 5 a year.
Right in there. Yeah.
Plus, Fiero 1.0 tunes are flying out the shelf all the time. But get HP tuners, guys, because
get HP tuners.
There is no mail order tune for a Fiero swap. Every one of you guys has a custom setup. Yeah. And, like, custom intakes primarily has a huge effect on the math, like the degree of bend, how close the bend is to the math. Like there's so many things that affect the tune.
But I mean, we've got I'm not gonna remember his name offhand, but he's got that black Fiero turbo 3800 that runs like low tens or something.
Are you talking about Scott?
No,
Scott
no.
Had one that was low tens or nines or something.
Huh. I know of him, but he's a current customer. We did him on.
We did our Rate My Rides.
Rate My Rides.
I remember he has like the exhaust pipe that's wrapped at the end. Yeah, it's a good Santa car.
It pulls tire. It's cool.
Like anything that can pull tire on the street, you're like, ooh,
oh,
that's a little spicy.
Man, ooh. And those things get so close. Like we had a customer come in with just summer tires on the back, and Steve Hickman and I were in it, and like if I hit the throttle just right, it just about felt like it pulled the front end.
Yep.
It was pretty awesome. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, having... Because that was a blower build that made, like, 340, 350 wheel, like, 15 years ago now. But, like, high 300s wheel horsepower, one on 200 treadwears, like, a decent width.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I just saw one.
Yeah, Robert Lamb.
Man,
I just
Lamb.
Saw one like a couple days ago that had like a Lambo body kit, which bugs me when they do body kits on like a Lambo or a Ferrari. Like that's
or
stupid.
GTR, yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like don't make a simulation cool car. Just make a unique body. Instead of calling it a Lambo body kit, just make a unique cool body kit.
What the hell?
Matt said that thing ran 138 in the quarter?
Jesus.
That is a lot of mile per hour.
I love how he says tight pants brought his Yanklin's GT.
That's why I was like, what the?
Everything before 138 and a quarter is a hilarious comment.
Yeah.
Tight pants bra is Yanklin GGP and about a 3800 T67.
Dude, that thing must back end like crazy if it's getting 138.
That's a lot of money.
Now, the thing is, that size turbo on a 3800 just does that.
Huh.
A gripe of mine with a Fiero is the Fiero seat,
if it's sub 3,000 pounds.
Yeah.
It's not fix it with a race seat car very easily.
Yeah.
It's like you better have a friend with three different brands and models of race seats
so you can
to find the one
that
fits in that car enough to where you can fit.
Yeah.
Because like
two really nice place Sparcos would be a game changer.
I know obviously I'm quite a bit shorter than you, but I love sitting in a Fiero. It just
It's low.
The console's up here.
Yeah, put it in
gear. Oh, it's great.
Bingo, yeah.
My dad had a buddy who had a Fiero and took us around a couple times. And
They're interesting.
They're
I feel like everybody's dad had a buddy that had a Fiero.
Oh yeah,
like was saying.
Everyone.
But like they were kind of one of those cars that try to kill you, like MR2.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine going 38 miles.
I do not think that they would do well on the road course.
Yeah, probably not.
It's like old truck suspension and.
Yeah, it would cost a lot of money. I mean, obviously you could fix anything with
absolutely.
Like, I'm envious of the people that understand suspension enough to like putting your own
completely
control arms and stuff. Yeah, just cut all the tabs off and just put your own tabs on and you know, do the right control arms. But that would be fun to get all that stuff right and make one handle.
You know,
I mean, the whole mid-engine thing and the power, like man, a Fiero is an underrated car, but man, it's hard to build a really cool one.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool, you know, as these old platform cars start to decline in quality, if we did pick up on some of the swap support, you know, as much as it inconveniences us on a daily basis dealing with customers' own swap stuff, if we actually supplied the stuff for them to do it properly,
yeah.
Especially as these cars get older and they're plucking the drivetrains out, if we sold a PCM and a wiring harness that they could drop in and maybe, depending on the platform, mounts and stuff, it'd be interesting. It's interesting to entertain, even in the Ecotec scene, in the 3800 scene, because we see it a lot, you know. These cars are getting old. You can buy a Grand Prix for $1,000 with a good running engine in it. You pull that engine out, you put it in your Fiero or your S10. Imagine if you could go to ZZ Performance and get a full wiring harness and PCM that ran that 3800.
Well, shout out to Jeff Gordon. He's picking up a Pontiac Transport van and putting a 3800 in it.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, everybody's doing it.
But like us, at least us four at this table, we are all like car enthusiasts that we'd be like, yeah, let's make a wiring harness for it.
Yeah.
And then we would build it out. We would like do cost analysis. We would get it to people who actually make decisions and they'd be like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, we love to swap stuff. We like to be those guys like in the garage every weekend working on
it.
It's
cool. The problem with that is there's just so many things that will change between Bob and Jim building there. And that's the one reason that we've started to pick up on the DF Goblin stuff is it is the same. Mm-hmm. Like, there are different tweaks. Some dudes might run their own intake or they might, you know, hack up a different intake. But in general, you are just taking a cobalt and putting it in this. It's stock PCM. Wiring harness, gauge cluster, drivetrain. So that's an area where we can go, okay, we know that these are all going to be the same to a certain degree
or
across.
Very similar at least, yeah.
My thing is, if you got a MAF sensor, an O2 sensor, it shouldn't really matter. And we're already tech supporting these swaps. Like,
yeah, that's true. I got a couple really cool LSJ swaps.
Could you imagine how nice it would be if we sold a Fiero tune with a Fiero cold air intake?
In a harness?
Shoo.
Or just in a cool air.
So which one of us is buying a Fiero?
I mean, you could potentially bring that car back to life. Like,
yeah.
You could.
If we had a 4-inch cold air intake for your LQ4 throttle body.
Woo. Yep.
It bolts in, goes down into the fender, looks good in the little side pocket like they all like to do.
So it sounds like Bo's buying a Fiero.
You bring the Fiero in.
You know, Matt always talks about Scott W. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want anybody blowing him up. He also did a square body S10 Blazer with a mid-engine 3800.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. And it
like
was also fast. In the cab.
Like right behind the seat?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, dude.
What?
You go on the website, add PCM, and then there's like an extra option for add harness.
Add harness for engine in front or engine behind
the
seat.
Man, like, it's...
That would solve everything. It's either there or there.
You either have a 65E or something else.
We're
not supporting it if it's not 65E.
Yeah,
it just sucks. And all, you know, and as we always say, and it's probably I kind of sound like a broken record, but like if we, like it just requires one of us, like to say I'm gonna buy this stupid Fiero, you know, and I'm not insulting Fieros by any means, but like I'm gonna buy this stupid old car, and I'm gonna do this, and then we're gonna make a kit for this.
Yeah. Yep.
That's all it would take.
Yeah.
But that's what it takes for ZZP to make a part like that.
It really
you have
is.
To have a car. Like, it doesn't matter how many people are like, I want this, I want that. Like, it requires one of us to say, I want this.
Yep.
Because, and to rub the shoulders of the right R&D guy here. Because we have so many, you know, Ross, Reed, Alex, like, Tim,
yeah.
Keith. Like, we have all these people here that are so more than capable of fabricating parts.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they got to be rubbed the right way.
It, you know? He's not wrong. It requires wow. a butt. In a seat, driving something every day,
yeah,
for things to get done. Because otherwise, yeah, we can say, "Oh, hey, you want to take this weekend or whatever," and nobody understands a car more than they do when they're driving it every day,
yeah.
thinking, "Oh, wow, this sucks. Yeah. Let me fix this." This
a recent example is the LTG Regal.
Yeah,
yep.
We sell all kinds of parts for the LHU Regal. Great car. And then, you know, a customer brings in their LTG Regal, and I'm like, man, I like this car a lot. Yeah. You know, Bo hands me the keys. He's like, Tim, tune it. And I'm like, man, I like this car. I might not give it back. So I bought one.
And you're like, we need an intake. Man, we need an intercooler.
Yeah.
What are we doing this week?
We need a colder intake. We need an intercooler. We already make the downpipe and midpipe combo thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew how to rub Alex the right way. Insert pun. Like,
yep.
I rubbed Alex the right way. It has a colder intake on it right now. Revision 1.
Uh-huh.
LTG colder intake mm-hmm. is on my car in the parking lot right now, and I have to like put test miles on it. And like,
I love how much you care things. About the project too, because you know you're tuning it and you want this intake to be like super baller, best intake that is available for the Regal. And you're like, hey, Bo, we need to vacuum test my car. We need
yep.
to smoke test my car.
Yep. Yeah, make
like,
sure
I'm
going to
tune this car.
Point.
And when I put the intake on, I want to see plus or minus negative, you know, 1% fuel trims,
mm-hmm.
like the whole deal. And it's the kind of stuff that really progresses ZZP is when we pick up stuff like that and
mm-hmm.
an employee is passionate about it.
Well,
and it's like your back pocket side hobby right now is the Regal.
Yeah.
And it still is just so cool to see,
yeah.
you know.
It was like, well, with Tim's LTG Regal, he was like, Randy, I'm going to need a gauge in this car. And I was like, oh, word?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like,
that's another thing. Yep.
I was like,
let's make it a little fun.
I was like, I could do that.
Yeah. So Randy draws up this thing and 3D prints it. And, you know, we went through a couple of the revisions to perfect everything.
Yep.
And that's in my car right now. I have an Aeroforce
yep.
in my Regal in the little... driver's side, like
defrost vent.
I gotta
left
see that
of the
it's
left
I gotta
of
see
the
it mounted
cluster.
Up with an actual gauge in it.
I probably have a different opinion on it because I made it, but it's good.
Yeah,
it's
good. I like it.
Good pot.
I like it. It fits in there well. It looks good. Like, and I have an Aeroforce in my Regal, and it doesn't impede my vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I am
pillar,
a huge fan of pillar pods. Until I go to Tail of the Dragon in my Sonic,
and
now I
can't
see Tail
yeah.
of the Dragon. I'm just like looking out my side
mm-hmm.
window.
Uh-huh.
Like Bo keeps saying. Tim, why are you always looking out the side window? I'm like, because I can't see out the windshield because of all my friggin' gauges.
I got
everywhere.
All my airplane
like,
gauges.
Okay, but your Sonic does look like your DSM with how many gauges are in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because Randy's like, hey, I drew up this gauge thing to add 2 more gauges. And I'm like,
man.
I'll find 2 gauges to put in.
Man,
I guess
I need battery voltage and
yeah.
AC temperature.
I guess
data
I need
boy.
Boost.
Data boy.
I guess I need boost and EGT.
There
his
we go.
His tuner's like, you scan in the car? He's like, yes.
Yes.
With my eyes.
All the time.
With my eyes.
Like, that's how that stuff happens. Like, you have to own the car, and you have to be passionate about the car. Like,
yeah.
Tim,
that's
we got in
way.
Your truck today to go to lunch. How many gauges does it have in it? 3. How many gauges you need? 4.
I do need a boost gauge in
there.
You're
wrong.
I do need a boost gauge.
Tim's sitting here in his 2004 F-150 with 3 gauges. We're like, we need another one. And we do.
Yep.
I don't have a boost gauge. I have no idea how much boost I have in my supercharged.
My Buick didn't break down on the way to lunch.
I forget.
Oh, shit.
Hey, we were tuning, we were modifying.
We were tuning, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Playing with maths, and you got to plug them in for them to work.
Oh, you don't got the Bluetooth?
The Bluetooth connection.
Bluetooth. Yeah.
AFR gauge.
Yeah,
all right.
With that. Before we get too far,
sorry.
We're past 5. Let's do a quick, what are we doing this weekend? Start with Ebo.
Oh, you know, I'm just going to go home or going out to dinner tonight.
Going to the Tiki Bar.
Tiki Bar in our hometown.
Do anything to the Tahoe?
Tiki Barn or
Home... Tell the people about what you bought.
I got a new Dune toy, you know. Went to the Dunes once with Tim and my family, and it's been a full year since I've had a Dune toy, and it only took me one time back to realize I needed another. Dune bug bit me real hard, so we came home, took home a good 99 LS swapped 35-inch tire, yada yada.
Got God's motor in it.
it should be something good to play with.
It's a cool looking truck. It's
really truck. Excited to get into the LS platform. So,
and it's two-wheel drive.
Yeah,
which I love.
We're gonna be
that
better.
Is a true even better.
Means it'll fly like this.
That means that baby's that means like 20 inches of suspension travel in the front.
We're gonna be doing things. In 4 years from now, we're gonna be doing things. But you know, it's tough.
You'll be in
day three of owning it. So tinkering on that this weekend, totally incomplete finished project that I'm trying to get ready for June 1st.
Hey.
But we'll see. Either way, just going out to dinner with my pride and joy, Sarah. You're probably not watching, but either way. And working on that, mowing the lawn, you know.
Yep.
Almost living stuff. The dream.
Living the dream.
Normal stuff.
It's growing like crazy now.
Yeah, it grows like 2 inches a day.
It's spring. It's nuts. Got some work to do on the Cobalt this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Finally putting a muffler on it.
Yeah.
Getting that stock muffler off because those cams sound too good, and I got to hear it chop a little
getting
bit.
Getting the ZZP muffler on the blue car.
Yep, so the blue car is getting that. I got some other tinkering stuff to do, just some cosmetics in the engine bay.
Mm-hmm.
Make it look good. Wash it up. It hasn't been detailed since last year. So that's about it.
Isn't it crazy? We paved our whole back parking lot and cars still get dirty back there.
Yeah, I know. Weird. What about you, Randy?
I'll probably be at your house tomorrow.
Hey.
Over at Tyler's house doing car stuff. Volleyball game on Saturday night.
Yep.
My wife's really into the Grand Rapids Rise.
Hey, they're one win away from $1 million. That's what I hear.
They're doing great things. Shout out to the girls on the Vibe team.
Yep.
Sorry, on the Grand Rapids Rise team, not
Vibe. The Vibe team.
We do have a friend named Karis that's on the Vibe. She's great. That and probably mowing my lawn too.
Yep.
it's
out of control. It's out of control.
Yeah.
That and my green car has an engine in the hole now. Hey. So
heck yes.
We're going to be doing turbo stuffs and intercooler stuff.
Big turbo stuffs.
Yep.
Medium-sized turbo stuffs, yeah.
It's all looking good.
Not quite drag sonic turbo
stuffs. No, not quite.
It is a good collection of parts going into a very nice car.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see it come together.
Same.
It's been a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, it feels good. The fact that you're going to be up and running means that we're definitely getting...
And we're getting R&D miles on some cool stuff on that car, too.
Yep.
So... I'm pretty freaking stoked about getting.
Adam Project says his lawn is 6 foot by 14 foot. What?
That sounds like a killer lawn. Man.
I got a third of an acre.
Does Adam Project live in California? Where does he live? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, just doing the and probably sim stuff. I'll jump on the sim racer and have a good time.
Might have to turn the AC on this weekend.
I was feeling in here. Window shaker in our.
I got a fresh furnace filter waiting to kick the AC on.
Nope.
Anywho, what about you, Tim? What you got?
I haven't turned mine on yet either. We got F1. I've got a carbon fiber hatch to put on my Sonic.
Okay.
I got an amp to put in my F1 in the Dune truck.
You know, between your car and my car, I think we have 80% of the carbon hatches in the U.S.
Yeah, probably.
And the drag car.
Probably.
And the drag car, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Drop a comment on if you want to see anything on future podcasts. We're always looking for topics.
Absolutely.
Either way,
we'll be here next week.
We'll be here rambling, talking about some stuff,
doing the thing.
Yep. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Later, guys.